is where we will be looking this morning. And so if you'll skip down, if you will, down to verse 19. And notice that the Bible says here in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word today. We ask you, dear Lord, to bless this Vision Sunday. Lord, I pray that as we begin to look out at what you have in store for us for this new year, Lord, you'd move in a mighty and wonderful way, dear God, in our lives. Give us guidance. Give us grace. Father, forgive us of where we have failed you. But Lord, I pray that you would move upon us in our life circumspectly, Lord, in a mighty way. In Jesus Christ we ask. Amen and amen. So the question today, the question really and truly to open up this year is, what will define you in 2020? What's going to define you in this new year? We've already looked back to 2019. We spoke a little bit about that last week. And we've asked ourselves, what did we learn from the last year? I hope and pray that you have a tendency to look back at the previous year, maybe even the previous month or 6 months, or even sometimes the previous week, and see what you can learn from it. Ask yourself, what did I learn from last year? Beloved, I believe in all of my heart that if we fail to learn from history, that we are incapable to make the needed changes to improve on where we are found wanting in our life. And if we make no changes, we will always get the same results. Beloved disciples that we're reading here in John chapter 20, on this fourth day following the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, it came with a wonderful end. I mean, a vision, if you will. I mean, not a hidden vision, not a revelation on this particular part of it, but a sighting of all sightings, a sighting of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, what a sight that could be. It was that clear. It was a 2020 vision, if you will, a perfect vision. And when they saw Jesus Christ clearly and wonderfully, you know what this says about them? They were glad. They were glad. I want you to think about this for just a second here this morning. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I have 4 points today. I'm going to watch the clock. I may get through two of them. We'll finish two of them 2 weeks from now. But I want to tell you this morning as we begin to share this vision for this new year, as we begin to embark upon what the Lord has in store for us in the upcoming days. Think about where the disciples were when they were sat in that room with the doors closed for fear of the Jews. And yet they were made glad when they saw Jesus. Think about what had transpired and why and what they had seen just in that past week. Point number one, guys, they had experienced some great tragedies there. And we see that here in John chapter 20. We see it in the previous chapter, John chapter 19, we read, Then delivered he him, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Beloved, for the disciples who were assembled together that Sunday evening with the doors closed, with the doors shut for fear of those who had already slain their Lord, their Master, their Savior. There was fear that was embarked upon their heart. There was fear that was shuddering through their veins. The thoughts in their hearts and their mind. It must have been painstaking for them to sit there that night. Because mind you guys, they missed the point of the resurrection. They missed the teaching of that. I wonder if their minds had been infiltrated with thoughts of the last 3.5 years of their life. I wonder if the words that Jesus had spoken, I wonder if they could have just sat there and racked their brains did they miss something? We know they missed the statements about the resurrection. As we've already seen, that they didn't know about Jesus being resurrected from the grave. However, it wasn't for a lack of him teaching on it. He already told him. He told him when he was in Philippi, in Caesarea Philippi. He says, look, you know, I got to go in. I got to be killed, but I'm going to rise the third day. And they're too busy listening to the first part of the statement to hear the last part of the statement. I believe many of us are guilty of that. We hear the first part of the sentence and we're trying to answer the first part of the sentence rather than listening to the rest of the story. Amen. Now, we find that out with the disciples many times over. Jesus is trying to tell them, I'm going to come back from the grave. You know, don't worry about it. I'm coming back. I'm going to live again. I'm going to see you again. But yet they're focusing on the negative part. They're focusing on the tragedy that they had suffered. I mean, beloved, what a tragedy to see with your own eyes. The sweet psalmist would pray in Psalm 31 in verse 9. He would say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul in my belly. And I wonder, the disciples, we know through scientific journals that the things that we see, the things that we think on, how we think has a direct result to our physical health. But I can imagine what they saw that week. I can imagine them being affected in the way that they were with the crucifixion and the torture that Jesus Christ, the shame that he experienced, all of the things that their Savior went through. Their eyes would have seen that. I would imagine that their belly would have hurt, their soul would have ached, their bones would have shivered. What a great tragedy to see. The eye, we know, shapes and develops our experiences in life, and how we interpret that which we view is affected by the mindset of each and every individual. But our sight, my friend, our vision determines how we act. Our vision and what we see determines how we feel. Many times over, the very being of who and what we are is shaped by what you and I are looking at. Jeremiah tells us this. He says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Jeremiah was witnessing the tragic events of a nation who had completely turned its back from God. And subsequently, he was known as the weeping prophet because of that. As tears had rolled down his face for his own people who had turned their back upon the Lord, he said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. I want you to think about for this just a second. Think about these disciples' eyes. These disciples' hearts being affected by that which they had seen, especially over the last 3.5 years. I mean, think about what they saw in Jesus. They saw Jesus Christ raise the dead. As a matter of fact, I remember you go back and you start reading about the events of Lazarus being raised from the dead. One of the comments just prior to that, when he stood by the sepulchre and said, open the stone, Mary said, I think it was Mary or Martha, one of the two, she says, you know, Master, he's been dead for 4 days. He, what's the next word? Stinketh, amen. Hey, can I tell you this morning, guys? If Jesus Christ can bring a dead body back from the grave, he can get rid of the stink too, amen. If Jesus Christ can walk in the midst of 3 Hebrew boys in a fire in the book of Daniel, and then the smell not even be on flames beyond them when they come out of there, listen, he can take the stink of death, amen. When those grave clothes are removed, they saw him raise the dead. It affected their heart. They saw him feed the 5,000. It affected their heart. They saw him then feed the 4,000. It affected their heart. Beloved, they saw him heal the blind. They saw him heal the deaf and heal the dumb, and it affected their heart. They saw him tell the paralytic to get up and walk, and he got up and left. Amen. It affected their heart. I imagine when Jesus cast out the thousands upon thousands of devils out of Legion, I believe it affected their heart much, much more. John even tells us of the works that Jesus did that the world could not even contain the books had they been written all down. Beloved, what they saw affected their heart. And on this day, there was a tragedy that they experienced. This week, there was a tragedy that they saw, and it affected their heart. And now they're sat in the midst of this room with the door shut and the doors locked simply because the body of Jesus Christ was gone. It affected their heart, my friend. It affected their heart toward who and what Jesus is and was. When they saw Jesus do these things, when they heard him speak, they left all they had and they followed him. I'd say their heart was affected. Not only did many of them see the tragedy, they saw the empty tomb. Their vision was about to become much, much clearer. Gladness would soon enter into their heart, but not yet. Think about what was seen this day. Think about what was known this day. Think about what was affecting their heart this day. We find the first thing that we see outside of this tragedy, it starts with a turn. A turn. I want to show you two verses, verse 14 and 18 in our chapter today. Look back with me if you will. And the Bible says in John 20 and verse 14, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." And now we look in verse 16. "And Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." There's two turnings that we find here. Both are toward the same person. And beloved, if anyone wants it, if anyone in the world today, if you're going to see Jesus for who and what he is, if you want Jesus to make your heart glad, to be joyful in your life, there must be a turning away from yourself, a turning away from sin and the seduction of this life and toward the Savior. The Bible tells me in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. If you're going to have a 2020 vision of who Jesus Christ is, it's going to require a turning, my friend. A turning away from your own understanding. In this new year, guys, we must make the needed changes in our life, the needed changes in our outlook, the needed changes even in our interpretations. If we want to reach the village, if we want to reach the valley, if we want to reach the cities and the country wide for Jesus Christ, beloved, it's going to take our hearts turning toward him and who and what he is. Mary turned and saw Jesus. She was glad when she saw who he was. She was exhilarated, as a matter of fact. I'd say she was happy. She was joyful because she saw Jesus where he was. She wasn't seeing him where she was facing initially. She saw him when she turned. And beloved, if we are going to see Jesus for who and what he is, we have to turn three things in our life. Three things. I'm going to finish these three subpoints and I'll be done this morning. And we'll finish up this vision service or this message in 2 weeks' time. But if we are going to see Jesus for who and what he is, we must turn in our function. We must turn in our function. Beloved, we must be willing to set aside our own natural, normal, and even hereditary functions in order to reach a world for Christ's sake. This is what Paul says. Paul says, and again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak." He finishes this statement by saying, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means," watch this, "save some." Now here's the caveat, verse 23. "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Beloved, one of the leading reasons that the church, I'm going to say this, Christianity, if you will, is rejected today, is because people have used the liberty of Jesus Christ for maliciousness. One of the leading reasons that people will deny Jesus Christ is because some have sat on pedestals and saying, "You need to come up here to get to the Lord," when Paul's saying, "No, I need to reach you where you are." Now, here's the thing. Paul's not advocating a person to go into the midst of sin to try to reach a sinner. That doesn't work. That actually has the opposite effect. Amen. We were never called. The Father didn't go down into the pig pen and drag the Son out. He didn't get down into the muck and the mire with him, but he went looking for him every day. You know, on the mission field, guys, today, one of the leading reasons missionaries come off the field early is because they simply refuse to conform to the country that God has called them to. The attitude of this is who I am, take it or leave it, 9 out of 10 will be left Guys, we have to reach people where they are. Doesn't mean, it has never meant, that we are to get in the midst of sin in order to reach people. What it does mean, as a believer, we need to adapt and acclimate to the climate of the country or the community in which we are called to. Bluntly put, guys, we got to get over ourselves. Now, I understand, I'm the foreigner saying that today. I understand I am the outsider coming inside, and I'm throwing it out there to the table. If I have to get over myself, we all have to get over ourselves in order to reach others. And put our pride to the side and put our ego to the side. I more than you. Why? Because I'm an outsider. We need to get under the Holy Spirit and get busy in reaching the lost in a darkened and dying world for Jesus Christ. Therefore, there must be a turn in our function. I have preached and taught this all over this country and multiple countries alone. I don't believe God has called me to the United Kingdom to come and set up an American church, period. That doesn't make me any less American. It doesn't make me even any more British. What it makes me is someone who's willing to conform to the climate of where we are living. Amen? And until we all grab a hold and gravitate toward that turn that Christ has called us thereunto, we're not going to reach our world for Christ. It doesn't matter if it's one valley over or an entire country over. It doesn't matter if it's in a different hemisphere. If God's called you to that area, you adapt to the nation that you're in. I'm not saying adapt to sin. I'm not saying to adjust yourself and align with sin. What I am saying is adjust to the culture. That's just all that we have to do. If you want to see Jesus work in your life, if you want to see Jesus for who and what he is, you're going to have to be willing to conform to where he wants you to be. Beloved, there's got to be a turn. There's got to be a turn in our function. In the midst of tragedy, guys, there's got to be a turn in our function. The Bible tells us when they saw Jesus, they were glad. And if you want to see Jesus Christ today, you're going to have to turn from yourself. We're going to have to turn from who and what we are and see him for who and what he is and all that he has done and all that he will do. And then we'll be glad. Then our hearts will be where they need to be. Then we will find that the growing movement of the Holy Spirit of God will have free course rather than us maybe sometimes trying to muscle it and make it do things that we want it to do. Let me say this to you this morning, and I'm going to close right there. That's one sub-point we'll pick up in 2 weeks' time. We must be willing today to turn toward Christ, to see him for who he is and what he is. And you know what he is today for you? He loves you. Jesus Christ loves you so much that he came to this world, wrapped on the robes of flesh, and lived an earthly life, sinless, blameless, and without guile, solely so that he could stand in our place and pay the price for sin. That's the gift today. If you want to see Christ in a 2020 vision, if you want to see him clearly and fully this morning, that's how you have to see him. He's your Savior who loves you today. But it's going to require a turn, even in the midst of tragedy. It's going to require us to turn toward him so that we can see Jesus faithfully. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for this small portion of our vision Sunday, our vision service today. And understandably, Lord, that we wanted to partake in the Lord's table. And Father, I just pray that your word was exalted enough today, dear God, to give us a bit of a taste to see what this year is going to have in store. Father, as we begin to continue to bear witness upon the precious grace that you have given each and every one of us, the blessedness today of your heart in our life, let us continue to turn toward you. Father, let us put our faith and our trust in you, dear God, and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us examine ourselves and ask ourselves this question: what is required that we may have eternal life? And it is the simple belief on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And once we have done that, Father, or once souls have done that, let us be convicted in our heart that we may turn toward you to live a life faithfully and fully for you this morning. Lord, bless this year 2020. Bless this year to come as we share this vision continually over the next few weeks. I ask of you, Lord God, to bear witness upon our hearts and our soul, that we may bring honor and glory and grace and mercy, Lord, into our life through the praise of the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for who and what you are. Thank you for bearing witness. Thank you for giving us an eternal record that we have this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Hope and pray that God's message was good.